People told themselves their past with stories, explained their present with stories, foretold the future with stories. The best place by the fire was kept for the storyteller.
The Happy Death of St. Joseph, from the Mystical City of God, by Mystic Venerable Mary of Agreda, Book 5, Chapter 4. Already 8 years, St. Joseph had been exorcised by his infirmities and sufferings, and his noble soul been purified more and more each day in the crucible of affliction and of divine love. As the time passed, his bodily strength gradually diminished, and he approached the unavoidable end, in which the stipend of death is paid by all of us children of Adam. In like manner also increased the care and solicitude of his heavenly spouse, our Queen, assisting and serving him with unbroken punctuality. Perceiving in her exalted wisdom that the day and hour for his departure from this cumbrous earth was very near, the loving lady betook herself to her blessed Son and said to him,
Lord God Most High, Son of the Eternal Father and Saviour of the world, by thy divine light I see the hour approaching which thou hast decreed for the death of thy servant Joseph. I beseech thee, by thy ancient mercies and by thy infinite bounty, to assist him in that hour by thy almighty power. Let his death be as precious in thy eyes, as the uprightness of his life was pleasing to thee, so that he may depart in peace and in the hope of the eternal reward to be given to him on the day in which thou shalt open the gates of heaven for all the faithful. Be mindful, my son, of the humility and love of thy servant, of his exceeding great merits and virtues, of the fidelity and solicitude by which this just man has supported thee and me, thy humble handmaid, in the sweat of his brow.
Our Savior answered, My mother, thy request is pleasing to me, and the merits of Joseph are acceptable in my eyes. I will now assist him, and will assign him a place among the princes of my people, so high that he will be the admiration of the angels, and will cause them and all men to break forth in highest praise. With none of the human born shall I do as with thy spouse. The great lady gave thanks to her sweetest son for this promise, and, for 9 days and nights before the death of St. Joseph, he uninterruptedly enjoyed the company and attendance of Mary and her divine son. By command of the Lord, the holy angels, 3 times on each of the 9 days, furnished celestial music, mixing their hymns of praise with the benedictions of the sick man. Moreover, their humble but most precious dwelling was filled with the sweetest fragrance and odors so wonderful that they comforted not only St. Joseph, but invigorated all the numerous persons who happened to come near the house. One day before he died, being wholly inflamed with divine love on account of these blessings, he was wrapped in an ecstasy which lasted 24 hours. The Lord himself supplied Joseph the strength he needed for this miracle. In this ecstasy, he saw clearly the divine essence and manifested therein all that he had believed by faith in the incomprehensible divinity, the mystery of the incarnation and redemption, the militant church with all its sacraments and mysteries. The Blessed Trinity commissioned and assigned him as the messenger of our Savior to the holy patriarchs and prophets of Limbo, and commanded him to prepare them for their issuing forth from the bosom of Abraham to eternal rest and happiness. All this Most Holy Mary saw reflected in the soul of her divine Son, together with all the other mysteries, just as they had been made known to her beloved spouse, and she offered her sincerest thanks for all this to her Lord. When St. Joseph issued from this ecstasy, his face shone with wonderful splendor, and his soul was transformed by his vision of the essence of God. He asked his blessed spouse to give him her benediction, but she requested her divine Son to bless him in her stead, which he did. Then the great Queen of Humility, falling on her knees, besought St. Joseph to bless her, as being her husband and head. Not without divine impulse, the man of God fulfilled this request for the consolation of his most prudent spouse. She kissed the hand with which he blessed her, and asked him to salute the just ones of Limbo in her name. The most humble Joseph, sealing his life with an act of self-abasement, asked pardon of his heavenly spouse for all his deficiencies in her service and love, and begged her to grant him her assistance and intercession in this hour of passing away. The holy man also rendered humblest thanks to her son for all the blessings of his life, and especially for those received during the sickness. The last words which St. Joseph spoke to his spouse were, "Blessed art thou among all women, and elect of all the creatures. Let angels and men praise thee. Let all the generations know, praise, and exalt thy dignity. And may in thee be known, adored, and exalted the name of the Most High through all the coming ages. May he be eternally praised for having created thee so pleasing in his eyes and in the sight of all the blessed spirits. I hope to enjoy thy sight in the heavenly fatherland." Then this man of God, turning toward Christ our Lord in profoundest reverence, wished to kneel before him. But the sweetest Jesus, coming near, received him in his arms, where, reclining his head upon them, Joseph said, "My highest Lord and God, Son of the Eternal Father, Creator and Redeemer of the world, give thy blessing to thy servant and the works of thy hand. Pardon, O most merciful King, the faults which I have committed in thy service and interactions. I extol and magnify thee and render eternal and heartfelt thanks to thee for having, in thy ineffable condescension, chosen me to be the spouse of thy true mother. Let thy greatness and glory be my thanksgiving for all eternity." The Redeemer of the world gave him his benediction, saying, "My Father, rest in peace and in the grace of my eternal Father and mine. And to the prophets and saints who await thee in limbo, bring the joyful news of the approach of their redemption." At these words of Jesus, and reclining in his arms, the most fortunate Saint Joseph expired, and the Lord himself closed his eyes. At the same time, the multitude of the angels, who attended upon their king and queen, intoned hymns of praise in loud and harmonious voices. By command of the Lord, they carried his most holy soul to the gathering place of the patriarchs and prophets, where it was immediately recognized by all as clothed in the splendors of incomparable grace, as the putative father and the intimate friend of the Redeemer, worthy of highest veneration. Conformably to the will and mandate of the Lord, his arrival spread unutterable joy in this countless gathering of the saints by the announcement of their speedy rescue. It is necessary to mention that the long sickness and sufferings which preceded the death of St. Joseph was not the sole cause and occasion of his passing away. For with all his infirmities, he could have extended the term of his life, if to them he had not joined the fire of the intense love within his bosom. In order that his death might be more the triumph of his love than that of effects of original sin, the Lord suspended the special and miraculous assistance by which his natural forces were enabled to withstand the violence of his love during his lifetime. As soon as this divine assistance was withdrawn, nature was overcome by his love and the bonds and chains by which this most holy soul was detained in his mortal body were at once dissolved, and the separation of the soul from the body in which death consists took place. Love was then the real cause of the death of St. Joseph, as I have said above. This was at the same time the greatest and most glorious of all his infirmities, for in it death is but a sleep of the body and the beginning of real life. The most fortunate of men, St. Joseph reached an age of 60 years in a few days. For at the age of 33, he espoused the Blessed Virgin, lived with her a little longer than 27 years as her husband. When St. Joseph died, she had completed the half of her 42nd year, for she was espoused to St. Joseph at the age of 14, as stated in the first part, Book 2, Chapter 22. The 27 years of her married life completed her 41st year, to which must be added the time from the 8th of September until the death of her blessed spouse. The Queen of Heaven still remained in the same disposition of natural perfection as in her 33rd year, for, as already stated in the 13th chapter of this book, she showed no signs of decline, or of more advanced age, or of weakness, but always in that same most perfect state of womanhood. She felt the natural sorrow due to the death of St. Joseph, for she loved him as her spouse, as a man preeminent in perfection and holiness, as her protector and benefactor. I perceive a certain difference in the graces given to this great patriarch and those vouchsafed to other saints. For many saints were endowed with graces and gifts that are intended not for the increase of their own sanctity, but for the advance of the service of the Most High in other souls. They were, so to say, gifts and graces freely given and not dependent upon the holiness of the receiver. But in our blessed patriarch, all the divine favors were productive of personal virtue perfection. For the mysterious purpose, toward which they tended and helped along, was closely connected with the holiness of his own life. The more angelic and holy he grew to be, so much the more worthy was he to be the spouse of Most Holy Mary, the depository and treasure house of heavenly sacraments. He was to be a miracle of holiness, as he really was. This marvelous holiness commenced with the formation of his body in the womb of his mother. In this, the providence of God himself interfered, regulating the composition of the four radical humors of his body with the extreme nicety of proportion and securing for him that evenly tempered disposition which made his body a blessed earth fit for the abode of an exquisite soul and well-balanced mind. He was sanctified in the womb of his mother 7 months after his conception, and the leaven of sin was destroyed in him for the whole course of life, never having felt any impure or disorderly movement. Although he did not receive the use of his reason together with this first sanctification, which consisted principally in justification from original sin, yet his mother, at the time, felt a wonderful joy of the Holy Ghost. Without understanding entirely the mystery, she elicited great acts of virtue and believed that her son, or whomever she bore in her womb, would be wonderful in the sight of God and men. The holy child Joseph was born most beautiful and perfect of body, and caused in his parents and in his relations an extraordinary delight, something like that caused by the birth of St. John the Baptist, though the cause of it was more hidden. The Lord hastened the use of his reason, perfecting it in his third year, endowing it with infused science and augmenting his soul with new graces and virtues. From that time, the child began to know God by faith, and also by natural reasoning and science, as the cause and author of all things. He eagerly listened and understood profoundly all that was taught him in regard to God and his works. At this premature age, he already practiced the highest kinds of prayer and contemplation, and eagerly engaged in the exercise of the virtues proper to his youth, so that at the time when others come to the use of reason, at the age of 7 years or more, Saint Joseph was a perfect man in the use of it and in holiness. He was of a kind disposition, loving, affable, sincere, showing inclinations not only holy but angelic, growing in virtue and perfection, and advancing toward his espousal with Most Holy Mary by an altogether irreproachable life. For the confirmation and increase of his good qualities was then added the intercession of the Blessed Lady, for as soon as she was informed that the Lord wished her to enter the married state with him, she earnestly besought the Lord to sanctify St. Joseph and inspire him with most chaste thoughts and desires in conformity with her own. The Lord listened to her and permitted her to see what great effects his right hand wrought in the mind and spirit of the patriarch St. Joseph. They were so copious that they cannot be described in human words. He infused into his soul the most perfect habits of all the virtues and gifts. He balanced anew all his faculties, and filled him with grace, confirming it in an admirable manner. In the virtue and perfection of chastity, the Holy Spouse was elevated higher than the seraphim. For the purity which they possessed without body, Saint Joseph possessed in his earthly body, and in mortal flesh. Never did an image of the impurities of the animal and sensible nature engage, even for one moment, any of his faculties. This freedom from all such imaginations, and his angelic simplicity fitted him for the companionship and presence of the most pure among all creatures. And without this excellence, he would not have been worthy of so great a dignity and rare excellence. Also in the other virtues, he was wonderfully distinguished, especially in charity, for he dwelt at the fountainhead of that living water which flows on to eternal life. He was in close proximity to that sphere of fire and was consumed without resistance. The best that can be said of the charity of our saint is what I have already said in the preceding chapter, namely, that his love of God was really the cause of his mortal sickness and of his death. The manner of his death was a privilege of his singular love, for his sweet sighs of love surpassed and finally put an end to those of his sickness, being far more powerful. As the objects of his love, Christ and his mother were present with him always, and as both of them were more closely bound to him than to any of the women born, his most pure and faithful heart was unavoidably consumed by the loving effects of such a close union. Blessed be the author of such great wonders, and blessed be the most fortunate of mortals, Saint Joseph, who so worthily corresponded to their love. He deserves to be known and extolled by all the generations of men and all nations, since the Lord has wrought such things with no other man, and to none has he shown such love. The divine visions and revelations vouchsafed to Saint Joseph I have particularly mentioned in the course of this history, in Volume 2, pages 422, 423, and 471. But there were many more than can be described, and the greatest of them was having known the mysteries of the relation between Christ and his mother, and his having lived in their company for so many years, as a putative father of the Lord, and as the true spouse of the Queen of Heaven. But I have been informed concerning certain other privileges conferred upon Saint Joseph by the Most High on account of his great holiness, which are especially important to those who ask his intercession in a proper manner. In virtue of these special privileges, the intercession of Saint Joseph is most powerful. First, for attaining the virtue of purity and overcoming the sensual inclinations of the flesh. Secondly, for procuring powerful help to escape sin and return to the friendship of God. Thirdly, for increasing the love and devotion to Most Holy Mary. Fourthly, for securing the grace of a happy death and protection against the demons in that hour. Fifthly, for inspiring the demons with terror at the mere mention of his name by his clients. Sixthly, for gaining health of body and assistance in all kinds of difficulties. Seventhly, for securing issue of children and families. These and many other favors God confers upon those who properly and with good disposition seek the intercession of the spouse of our Queen, Saint Joseph. I beseech all the faithful children of the Church to be very devout to him, and they will experience these favors in reality, if they dispose themselves as they should, in order to receive and merit them. And now, the words of the Queen. The Virgin Mary speaks to Sister Mary of Agreda.
My daughter, although thou hast described my spouse, Saint Joseph, as the most noble among the princes and saints of the heavenly Jerusalem, yet neither canst thou properly manifest his eminent sanctity, nor can any of the mortals know it fully before they arrive at the vision of the divinity. Then all of them will be filled with wonder and praise, as the Lord will make them capable of understanding this sacrament. On the last day, when all men shall be judged, the damned will bitterly bewail their sins, which prevented them from appreciating this powerful means of their salvation, and availing themselves, as they easily could have, of this intercessor to gain the friendship of the just judge. The whole human race has much undervalued the privileges and prerogatives conceded to my blessed spouse, and they know not what his intercession with God is able to do. I assure thee, my dearest, that he is one of the greatly favored personages in the divine presence and has immense power to stay the arms of divine vengeance. I desire that thou be very thankful to the divine condescension for vouchsafing thee so much light and knowledge regarding this mystery, and also for the favor which I am doing thee therein. From now on, during the rest of thy mortal life, see that thou advance in devotion and in hearty love toward my spouse, and that thou bless the Lord for thus having favored him with such high privileges and for having rejoiced me so much in the knowledge of all his excellences. In all thy necessities thou must avail thyself of his intercession. Thou shouldst induce many to venerate him and see that thy own religious distinguish themselves in their devotion. That which my spouse asks of the Lord in heaven is granted upon the earth, and on his intercession depend many and extraordinary favors for men, if they do not make themselves unworthy of receiving them. All these privileges were to be a reward for the amiable perfection of this wonderful saint and for his great virtues, for divine clemency is favorably drawn forth by them and looks upon Saint Joseph with generous liberality, ready to shower down its marvelous mercies upon all those who avail themselves of his intercession.